Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Good evening. You're on Fakeologist Radio, fakeologist.com. Sunday, the 4th of April, 2021. You're listening to Rick and Rollo talk about police matters and court matters. Hello, Rollo, wherever he is. It's Rollo.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. There you go. Right. I've just welcomed the people. I've done welcome to country. I've
set fire to my... How
are you doing, bud?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Excellent. Now...
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Clap.
Thank you, man. You were great support on Wednesday. It's Rick and Rollo, and I just got back from... So you want to hear all about the court case?
Well, I've explained last night when I babbled...
Yeah, I did listen to that. Yeah, I listened to some of the audio chat right up to you and Ab, right up to John Lebon, and it goes for 9 hours, so I haven't got through it all yet, but...
You can put it on double speed, and it'll go in 4.5 hours. We'll just sound like we're chipmunks, but you know you'll get the gist of it. Yeah,
no, that's good. No, I went a bit hard on Friday night on the MDMA, and because I'm still happy that I'm a free man. But it was
how many
so
did you
nice
have?
To ha-
how many did
I
you
had
have?
A couple. I had a few crystals. A bit too many, but
apparently anyone listening to this, don't do what Rollo does. Don't do what Rollo does. Unless you want to have to spend the day weeping to yourself and breaking down every now and then. Did you weep at all yesterday? Actually, no, it's not 2 days.
No.
Time to start weeping.
No.
Okay.
Well, I did hear that Carla Zampatti passed away. She was an Australian clothes designer, yeah.
Otherwise irrelevant. We'll move on from that.
I got to say that she did all the corporate clothing when I was at Westpac.
It's relevant.
Yeah. She apparently tripped down some stairs when she was at the
doctor getting a vaccination.
She was listening to some opera at the Sydney Opera House 2 weeks ago, tripped down the stairs, busted herself up pretty bad, and it took her 2 weeks, and she died yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, well, can I just tell you, as an older, I don't look like I'm an old man, but, you know, I'm...
No,
you
don't.
I don't. Well, I'm physically probably better than I was when I was 18, let me tell you, but falling is the elderly issue, and it's like a slipping over. Mm. You don't bounce anymore. And what happened to me, you know, when I ripped all the tendons off my leg, that was a 1 year rehabilitation. I'm still fucked, you know, in some parts, you know, I'm not.
I hear. What Carla should have done is done what Joe Biden did. Fall up the stairs, not fall down.
Fall up
the stairs.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Joe Biden's obviously very clever at falling. He's got it down pat, you know, knows how to do it. There's some hilarious memes out there, aren't there? You know, you've seen the pro skater one. Joe Biden, pro skater. You're doomed. It's death by meme these days. If you do anything wrong, you're death by meme. Meme. Anyway.
What happened was the police everywhere, my wife, my ex-wife, and my brother turned up. You turned up a bit later, but they're all police there, and they wouldn't let you in. So they wanted to get me on my own.
Good.
And they did. But Christy gave me a game plan. So this is what I This is what she told me. They wanted me to plead guilty or not guilty. And
yeah, who needs a lawyer when you got Christy behind you and me? And
exactly.
I'm the legal advisor, and Christy was the may have been the lawyer, because what she wrote for you using legal terms was as good as you would have paid $3,000 for the same representation. Let me tell you right now.
$4,500. They were charging me to.
That's a gram of coke. A gram of coke on the top, and a bottle of Moët. That's what a lawyer's adding onto his bill.
Yeah. So basically, I went in there, and I was very, very nervous. But after a while, that's the thing. I'm not my usual self when I'm sober.
You're quite normal.
But the thing is, what's the point of them talking to me sober when all of this happened when I was like rip-roaringly drunk?
Yes, end result, you don't want to go in there rip-roaringly drunk and, you know, throw up in the corner and fall over and land on your face and smash all the judges' drinks everywhere. It doesn't look good. It's not what I would advise. Well, actually, I would advise that if you wanted to get it carry the inference that you're an alcoholic mess. Mm-hmm. That would probably justify them saying, yes, Your Honour, my client is rip-roaring drunk. As you can see, he's just tripped over, landed on his face, and spilt drinks everywhere.
So I read this. I would like to apply for this matter to be dealt with under Section 32 of the Mental Health Act, suffering from mental illness. I have 3 supporting documents, the one from the psychologist, the one from the couple's counsellor, and the one from my... my wife, the stat deck, which I will read tonight.
And then
the magistrate and the prosecutor, they were kind. They went, you live in New, cause somehow we got on to, you're from Newcastle. You have to come all the way up here. So they actually, I'll give them something.
Sympathy.
So they,
and this is to the folks that are listening. There's, I think, 2 of them. It's a female judge. Which is a good thing, let me tell you, when you go to court, I think.
She looked like my mother.
You should have mentioned that to her. You should have said, Your Honour, the reason why I'm standing staring at you with tears in my eyes, looking lovingly at you, is you remind me of my late mother.
My mother. She died 2 years ago, and she looks better than you do now. I shouldn't have said that.
No, you don't mention that.
That would have been too cheeky, wouldn't it? She was pretty good.
Strike that from the record, Your Honour.
No, but she wasn't keen. But then the prosecutor went, I think we should get a ship to Newcastle. So they've given me a month and a half adjournment, or what do they call it in America? Continuance.
Would that be da 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 6 weeks? Dave J.
6 weeks.
6 weeks. And can I also mention when we got to court? When you got to court, you sent me a text saying there is 18 people in front of you. 18.
Yes.
Strike. That's da 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 da. Dave J. Da 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 da. I got to
Pretty quickly, actually. 9:30, the registrar spoke to me at 10 and then said, look, I'll get you in. I told him I lived in Newcastle. And then he went, oh, right, okay.
You're mad.
I'll get you in to see the magistrate today. And I went, oh, that was pretty good. It only took until 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I've got something interesting to say about how the court process. Because once you're sitting in the courtroom, you can see how the court process goes. So it's been adjourned to the 17th of May. So all I need to do is I need to get a
proper
psychologist.
A, di- A diagnosis.
I need a diagnosis. That's right. A diagnosis. Yeah. Either I'm bipolar or paranoid schizophrenic. I don't care what they diagnose
I would go with tripolar with a double forward roll and...
okay.
Try that one. If that's a maneuver or a court...
Yes, and go. A plan.
Yes. Now this is something I mentioned with my limited legal resource brain is that you need to get because my neighbour who feeds my pussies, she deals with this all the time, and she said if he does get a fine, you get a thing called a something. Anyway, I'll tell you in a minute. I'll look it up.
Sure.
She said, and if you do get a fine, you can do that just by doing sessions with a psychologist. Every time you see a psychologist, the cost comes off your fine. So you can do 10 sessions.
Yeah, I don't even think they're going to fine me. I'm not paying a fine.
No, look, Roller, let me just say this. Right.
Yeah, go.
Hang on. Opening a can of beer. The police...
What's in your hand? What's in your hand?
Cooper's Red.
I've got a body and Red Bull in my hand, so let's chink our glasses. Good. Ready?
Okay.
There we go. Done.
I'm hitting a can on wood. Anyway, basically, though, Rollo, the police, I won't say lied, but they've incorrectly put inference on your...
I disagree. I say they're liars, exaggerators, We've gone through it on Rick and Rollo in the past.
I'll
tell you something. It's funny you should bring that up, Rick. When I was in the courtroom and all the people that were being seen to in front of me, the magistrate read the police what they're charging you of in full. They read everything in full, but why didn't mine get read in full?
Because you mentioned COVID-19 a lot.
Yes. And the COVID-19 hotline, and she didn't read that in full. And COVID-19 wasn't even mentioned with me.
Isn't that a coincidence?
All these poor people, I tell you, all these poor people in front of me were all done on drugs charges and because they've lost their jobs over COVID-19. They're all through nefarious, not all of them, but most of them, you know, on drugs charges and that, and they had good jobs and that, and they had to resort to
crime.
What the state calls crime, yeah.
But I would call earning a crust. Whatever you got to do.
To survive. Get by.
Yeah. Supply and demand. Supply and demand. That's what it is. Yeah. At the end of the day.
Yeah, I felt like following a couple of them out, like especially the guy that got done for a handful of cocaine and a handful of MDMA. I'm going, can we make a deal?
You should have said, excuse me, Your Honor. And she would have said, yes, Mr. Rollo from Newcastle. You would have said, excuse me, can I just interject here? Criminal in the doc. Could you please meet me afterwards at about 4:30? I'll have the cash.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll take whatever you've got. Thank you very much. So sorry, Your Honor. I just was mentioning it to listen and sit back down again. And she'd probably glare at you over her glasses.
I think she would. She gave that guy 2 years, but then it all...
2 years?
Because he played, but in jail. But because he pled guilty, it all went down
two handfuls of substance, probably
cocaine and MDMA. Yeah,
two handfuls.
It all went. Yeah, but she whittled it all down to 300 hours community service, which
Wonderful.
Is still a pain in the ass. But
let me tell you.
I felt sorry for the guy. He was a New Zealander too. One of you
funny
boys.
That.
And,
coincidence?
Yeah.
Coincidence? I don't think so. Anyway, let me tell you now. I managed the fitness center back, for 20 odd years back in the day for free as a community thing. And we had loads of, criminals to come there and do their community service at this particular place. And, if you have to do 300 hours, man, that's 300 hours, and if you're actually, that's a long time, that's, you're dealing,
yeah.
talking about weeks of
no pay.
No pay, and so we were really kind on most of them, except there was some real people, you know. Funnily enough, it was Vietnamese-backed crime gang guys that were the biggest pains in the ass, because they just refused to do anything. And they knew that there's nothing you could do to make them do anything anyway. But most people were very good, and they came and painted or did voluntary work, you know, for us. But 300 hours community service is a
beats 2 years in the big house, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, man. There's no two ways about that. Where you will probably get bashed senseless, and let me tell you, I know a few people.
Not this.
You're listening to Rick and Roll.
This is Waterman Chris.
Madeira Lissette.
I'm Roller.
Uninstall Media.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Indeed it is. Sunday the 4th of April 2021. Rick and Roller. Yeah, Roller is not in the big house yet. So I've got I would like to read the statutory declaration. Can I say that word?
No, declaration. It's statutory. That's how you say it. Statutory declaration. Okay.
Declaration. All right. So I, Christy, and sincerely declare that Rollo and I have been in a relationship for over 26 years, and this really helped me, actually. I believe he has been suffering from depression for several years, and this has often been made worse by his drinking problem. When the changes due to COVID-19 came in, he did not believe that they were necessary, and that the government was trying to.
Let me just say that I'll just interject there.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he be concerned about these ridiculous laws, directions we've been given as humans in Australia?
Well, when we were in Sydney, they take it a lot more. Those QR code scans on the phones are, in Newcastle, not really at all. I mean,
same as we're on up here.
Whereas I went into a pub the night before. I met up with you at Maloney's at the Irish pub.
I went into another pub and they
just went QR code, like.
Yeah, fuck.
All right. I said I didn't have my mobile phone on me, and I went.
Yeah.
And they went. Yeah. All right. Out you go. I'm like, fuck. But I don't.
Listen, I don't want to go into your stinking fucking venue to start with. I came here to get pissed.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
All I wanted was a beer, just to calm down. Yeah. Okay. So. Were necessary, and that the government was trying to control the population through fear and manipulation.
Brilliant.
He is angry with the people who cannot see things the same way, believing they are part of the problem, and over the last year has become more and more intolerant of any alternate views. At shops, he would ask why that they were putting plexiglass screens up and questioning some of the inconsistencies about how social distancing measures were enforced. He would talk to people wearing masks and try to explain it was bad for their health, breathing in the carbon dioxide and the problems it could cause. Sometimes he would not be so nice and just ridicule them for wearing the mask. I'd call them retards. that's me. Yeah, I call them retards. We had many arguments about people having the freedom to choose whether they wear or not wear them, and he would constantly be ranting about all the controlling things that were being done by the government and the health organisations.
I do the same thing. Luckily, I'm not in a relationship with someone that doesn't believe what, because I'll be doing exactly and do the exact same thing. So you're completely normal. Keep reading. Sorry.
Okay. Rollo would often call radio station chat shows, talk about these things, and would often be frustrated if they would not let him talk and would just ridicule, and they would just ridicule his ideas. He began calling the health direct line, trying to get answers about why all these measures were being put in place, why they did not apply to some groups, like the NRL football. He started drinking more heavily and became more depressed and said he did not want to live in a world like this. After many calls to the health direct line, and with not much success of finding answers, one of the people he spoke to said he should call Lifeline. When he called them, they were very... Go, Rick.
I'm saying, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. When he called them, they were very concerned about his mental state and called the police to come over and check on him. He was taken to the Mater Hospital mental health unit, where they got him to dry out for a few hours. It wasn't a few hours, about bloody 11 hours. And then they assessed him. As he was not an immediate threat of suicide, they let him out without really helping him. They suggested he sign up for an alcohol treatment program. I was very hopeful he would go, but as for the date of the assessment came around, he would not go because the psychologist would be wearing a mask as it was still in the middle of COVID-19. So I wouldn't wear a mask. They wanted me to wear a mask.
Yeah.
So
you rightly refuse because you don't want to have 30% of your oxygen deprived off you. God given right to breathe fresh air.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Well, they didn't make me wear one in the courtroom, and none of them were wearing one. So that was something. I've got something to tell you about the casino after the night. So here we go. Hold on. We're getting buzzed by a helicopter. Give me a sec.
It's a black helicopter, folks. It's the and he'd be probably pushing a incendiary device down Rollo's chimney in about 15 minutes. But forget about it.
So Rollo was blocked from calling the Health Direct line, but then started trying to call the CEO of Health Direct to try and get some answers. He always says, go straight to the top if you want to get someone to be accountable. I do not believe he ever spoke to the CEO, Karen Borg, but did talk to someone reasonably high up, which was the deputy CEO. He ended up being blocked from ringing their main office.
And her name was Enid Klingon. Enid Klingon. So we have Karen Borg.
I get it.
Yeah, and Enid Klingon, the sub-director of COVID-19 hoax hotline. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Okay, I remember a police person ringing him to talk about the complaint that the health director had made to the police about him. He explained that what he was trying to do and why. He also let the police know that he had been blocked from those numbers and was no longer trying to contact them. I do not believe he has contacted Health Direct since New South Wales Health Direct since that time. Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, I've been blocked at every turn. So why the fuck am I in court 6 months later when I've been blocked? And it doesn't matter.
Fucking.
And I didn't get the chance to say whose feelings or, you know, who was harassed or who felt harassed. Anyway, keep going. I'll keep going. He also talked with police about this when he made the complaint about the handling of the protest in Sydney. They came to his house to talk to him and mentioned that he had spoken to someone about the complaint by Health Direct. So let me just read that again. He also talked to the police, with the police, about when he made a complaint of the handling of that protester in Sydney. Me and you were there, Rick, when they cracked that guy's head skull open.
Oh, but you can't say that because there are people on Fakeologists that think everything is fake and that we were pretending to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's just move on. Keep going.
Okay. As his mood worsened and his drinking became worse, our relationship was strained and I felt that I could not really communicate with him anymore. He is a different person when he is drinking heavily. I could no longer continue living with him, as the stress was too much for my own mental and physical health. He initially did not really believe I had left, but eventually came to understand why I was not happy. He was keen to go to couples counseling to fix the problems. He has been helping to make, hold on, it's so dark here, make him understand how his verbal aggression and lack of empathy affect other people. Well, I think I'm quite empathetic. But there you go.
Yeah, you are.
Well, we're all in the same boat here with this COVID-19 and Klaus Schwab and, what is it? 2030?
Agenda 2030.
Exactly. Anyway, I'll keep going. And the lack of empathy affect other people and was ruining our relationship. He has improved quite a bit, and now we have more rational conversations. I have now agreed to go back 2 nights a week as long as he is not drunk. He has also started a process to see a psychologist for himself and work on his alcohol problem. I believe he needs more professional help to get his thoughts, emotions, and drinking under control. He has made a good start, and I only hope this court does not see him go backwards.
Exactly, Mr. Judge, or Miss Judge, or whatever you are, Ms. Yeah. Judge. Yeah.
Isn't that a great, that's a great ending line. And now,
finish the legal bit that she added to the end of it, which I thought...
And I make this solemn declaration, conscientiously believing the same to be true, and by virtue of the provisions of Oath Act 1900, declared at Argentine, 30th of March, 2021.
Fantastic. Look, Christy, under my advice, your legal counsel, wrote that letter. I didn't expect her to be that, you know, she's dotted the T's. Sorry. She's crossed the T's and dotted
the
I's.
You said to me, we spoke before last Rick and Rollo last Saturday. We had a pretty feisty chat, and you went, Rollo, get your wife to do a stat deck.
Yeah.
And I immediately did it. And it was good advice because...
I think that was the clincher.
That really was.
It is. Yeah. And the law is logical and legal, right? So you just go with what you think is the best way to do it. And I just assumed that it was me in this situation. And I've been there before for, you know, various matters, But anyway, I did the same thing. I went to, got a psychologist report, walked in there and confidently and smiled at the prosecuting cop, who was a chick, and she came out and dropped the charges straight away, which was very nice to her. But I actually agreed to something stupid, which was a legal thing. And I got a good behaviour bond, which is a bad thing. You do not want that. Do not accept it. And my lawyer said...
I'm going to stick with this.
You do not want a good behaviour bond because things can go
fair
shape.
I don't think that's possible.
No, you won't get one.
We've looked at it pretty well.
Yeah. And look, Christy has done over and above, in my eyes, what I asked her to do. I just said, look, just do that. Just... Because this is where we are. Like, I'm not fake. You're not fake. We're real people, right? I identify as Rick.
You saw how real she was the night. I mean, after I was a free man for only a month and a half, but she was. I mean, she was happy and
You were wrongly done over.
I don't think there should be any problems. I never did harassment. Anyway.
No.
So we'll get, now that we've got the case moved from Sydney back to Newcastle, make it very easier, a lot easier for me.
I'll just tell you what you should already know. Newcastle Court is one of the busiest courts. Not as busy, though, let me quietly tell you, as Port Macquarie, where I went to. Port Macquarie is the busiest court in New South Wales, if not Australia. I think it's Australia's busiest court because it deals with matters up and down the mid-north coast, which goes right up to some seriously feral areas, Kempsey, Taree, all these areas. I moved to Port Macquarie Court. And you are dealing with some serious... crime. When it comes down to someone like your case, you are right at the pointy end of nice case. You know, you're so sorry, not the pointy end of bad. You're at the good end. There's a pointy end where, you know, wife bashing, ice addict, hold up, you know, blah, 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 and, you know,
full on. I didn't hear any of that in court that day.
Yeah, but you probably...
I'll tell you this, Rick, I'll tell you this, Rick.
Okay,
Rick, this is hilarious. So what happened? So I'm in the courtroom, and I've listened to all the cases in front of me, and basically, like I said, she didn't read what I was charged with into the record. It was bizarre, because when I sat down at the table, I had all the other court documents of all the other people that were charged with right next to me. And I just, I wasn't there to read. I just read them while they were frigging around.
Yep.
I just went, yep, okay. And I was just reading them, you know, because the prosecutor put them right, they were right next to me. And I'll just,
for the people that are listening, two point three people. Rollo's dressed up in his Joker's costume without the mask, without the face paint. So he had bright purple. Silk suit.
I thought I looked pretty suave.
He did. I thought so. But I must say, your brother, he comes across as very suave. As a, you know,
doesn't he?
No wonder the guy knocked off Kylie Minogue. He's got the looks and the talent to be able to. Well, that's a claim I can't bring up. I've got no celebrity knockoffs, but he has.
He's a good man. It was so nice to have you. Him and then we, you know, happened to run into Darren that night. Yeah, it was a great night.
Yeah, I really thought.
We went to the casino after that, and I tell you, it was so nice at the casino because when I was there with Ashika, it was all COVID. You couldn't sit next to each other on the blackjack tables. It was all back to normal when we went to the casino that night.
Sydney's back to normal.
Fantastic. It was almost back to normal, you know. I only saw a few people wearing silly-ass face masks.
Were they Chinese? Yes, they probably were.
Yes, they were, yeah.
They were wearing those masks 3 to 4 years, maybe to 10 years before COVID-19 came out. It's been a thing with the Chinese, and I've always been looking at them going, why are they wearing these things? Because Sydney is not polluted. It's got great air. We're on a coast. We've got very low pollution levels. There's the Chinese. I think they were there for the last 10 to 15 years normalising the mask and paid to do so. Let me say this, paid to do so by the Chinese government that is slowly moving in to take over your land, my land, America, Canada, UK, wherever else. The Chinese are moving in. They're taking over to run. They are the new police of the Pacific will be the Chinese. The Americans, let me just say this, that your history, you're not going to be anything to contend with within maybe, certainly by 2030, you're gone. Be told. You're gone. You're not going to be anything. You're going to be waving sticks at each other because they're going to take your guns off you, I would say. That's what I'm predicting. And if they don't take them off you, you're going to shoot each other fighting for your guns. And so you're going to do the job for them. They won't even need to have boots on the ground. They're coming to take your guns away. Bang.
Well, yeah. It's almost like going through an airport to get in that bloody courtroom. Like, do I have to check my Glock?
Oh man, I walked in there, and they zeroed on me as like threat. There's a threat. Yeah. You know, this guy, you know, come striding up the stairs, and he comes straight up to me, and he said, "What are you here for?" And I said, "I'm just here. There's a friend of mine in court." And he goes, "What's he done?"
Exactly.
He wanted to know what you done. I said, he's got an issue. I see that as slight ishwe, and I'm just here to let him know that I'm in the area. And he goes, look, you can't come in, but he goes, I can't explain anything because he goes, I'm just a security policeman. So he's a federal police, useless bunch of fuckwits. If you've ever, these guys aren't the hard cops like the New South Wales cops. New South Wales police they don't like each other. Also, there's a real rivalry between feds and state.
You're listening.
You're listening to Rick and Rollo.
Rick and Rollo.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
With friends, people in a van, I'm trying to avoid. Am I under surveillance or am I just paranoid?
Now, that song that that guy, the dresses as a clown, I can't remember his name, does, that's Michael Jackson doing the... he was a Michael Jackson fan, and he got Michael Jackson to actually come in and do the "Somebody's Watching Me" part on the song.
Yeah, it's good. I can't remember him either. They do a live stream. They're pretty good. Hey, I was just listening to you before from the Saturday night 9 hours. He said you were going to find a. He was saying Pink Floyd money. He doesn't want to use that anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course.
You found a new money song. What song was it?
Give Me Your Money, Please by Backman Turner Overdrive. The best Canadian band ever, except for maybe the Guess Who, but the same member of Backman, Randy Backman, was a member of the Guess Who in that song. But I thought, I sent it to Ab and I said, look, you know, surely you would have thought of this. So I'm suggesting he uses Give Me Your Money, Please by Backman Turner Overdrive. And the second suggestion was Monty Python's Money, which I can recite ad lib anytime anyone questions me. That's another good song. So hopefully he'll use one of those two. I also sent him Jesse J, that kind of angry lesbian singer from UK. She did that chink, that song there. It's not about the money. The ching-ta-ching-ta-ching song. I sent that.
What about that song, I Want Money?
The Art of Noise. So, okay, we'll send that. That's a good idea. Yeah. Good suggestion, Rollo. There you go.
Yeah, well, you've got to convert it from, what is it, Monero into money, I guess. Is that the way it works? I don't know anything about crypto.
Well, I listened to... psychologist interviewing
anyway, I'm just happy to be a free man for the next month and a half.
What you say is, I'm not a number, I'm a free man, and you scream it out in the balcony.
Just for the next month and a half.
As your legal counsel, right, I'm telling you now, you're not going anywhere other than your place. And I would say technically, if I was I'm not up there with SMJ's, who, now there's a guy who's actually qualified to decide. I think you could probably get a compensation claim about them lying, the fact that they said, we couldn't contact him, Mr. Judge, so we did this. Mm-hmm. Now, you did contact him, and he was taken away from his place to a place to sober up. You've lied on your charge sheet, so he needs to be... he's been slandered by this, Your Honor.
Rick, I tell you who I should be as eloquent as. After I spoke to Ab last week, I went to Fake YouTube and I listened to the Big Virus Hoax. I watched the Big Virus Hoax guy deal with the police with all the face masks on. You know, the guy that looked like Christopher Lloyd out of
Back to the Future.
he looked like him. Yeah, and I swear, the way he dealt with those police were great. It was like 70 minutes long, but it was brilliantly recorded.
If you've got the ball, that's what I say to people now, like, be prepared, get prepared, use your gut instinct to find out who's bullshitting you when it comes to these podcasts and how much information you're getting from a guy that wants to make, like, and I keep bringing up High Side Chat. The guy's a fucking, has some great stuff, but he just wants your money, and that's all he wants. He would sell his soul, and there's probably a couple of other people out there that would probably sell their souls if they got clearance to do what they want on their podcast. You need to be right now prepared to, with a backup plan, have a legal bit of legal knowledge. And Frank on our Frank on Fakeologist announced the top today. He knows his stuff as well. He's been listening to from Byron Bay,
He said that they were having some issues together. I can't remember who they were, but
Solutions Empowerment.
Solutions Empowerment. Empowerment.
Yeah, and there's also another one. But you need to know how to deal with cops, right? And you need to have the confidence to deal with the cops, because the guy from Solutions Empowerment, and I'm not talking about Tom Barnett, I'm talking about the main guy, Mark. The guy is eloquent. He's been and said he's made mistakes before, but you have to be the person that has a Masonic secret. No, it's not the Masonic secret handshake. When you're doing business with someone and you put your hand out and they shake it, and then they put their hand over the top of your hand, that means they've got it over you. But if you move your hand and stick it over the top of theirs, you win. It's the guy that with a hand over the top. So you need to be prepared to be able to argue and say, excuse me, what am I being charged with? Is this a criminal charge, or are you... you've got to be ready for this stuff.
I was in the courtroom, all I had going through my head was one thing.
Where's my next drink?
My wife's always going, stick to the game plan. Stick to the game plan. Stick to the game plan.
Don't get angry.
Don't get angry.
What did she tell you that you don't do when you go in front of the judge that even I didn't really know much about?
Don't plead guilty or not. I'm going section 32. So she said, stick to the game plan. I said, judge, and then she cut me off. She went, stop talking. And I went, okay. All right. And are you pleading guilty or not guilty? I said, I've got a prepared statement and I want to read my prepared statement. And then I read it. And I then gave the documents to the prosecutor, which then the prosecutor gave them to the court clerk, who gave them up to the judge. And the judge, and that's when I had the 10 minutes to read all the other documents, because they were right next to me, about all the other cases. And while they were reading those, and then they kind of went, I think we will transfer this case to Newcastle local court.
Mm. Of course it was. I mean, look, they don't want to deal with someone that may be a person of...
Even though I'm going 32. Section 32. Exactly.
You'd think they'd use Section 33. So I wonder what Section 33 is about. It probably says this is a fake.
The judge says... But she brought up my previous conviction. She said that snidely, too. It was a very snide...
Which one was that?
You've been convicted. That was when I got done drink driving in 1997. Yeah. That's got nothing to do with that. That's ancient history.
Nothing to do with the...
But she brought it up, though, snidely. It was a snide remark. And I went... you're talking about... Yeah, because you've been convicted before. And I go, I pled guilty, to drink driving in 1997. And
A full 23
years ago,
Jesus
Christ.
Yeah, ridiculous. But that's what they do. Look, these people are there to give you a hard time. Yeah, just give me 2 minutes. I'm doing an ad.
Yeah, right.
I've got angry pussy looking at me.
Mrs. Slocum.
I've got to feed him.
You're right.
You can do what I did last night and talk to yourself.
I can't do that as well as you can.
Oh, I can. Let me tell you. Underwater, on top of water. Under a volcano, which exists. Let me tell you, folks. I'll be back in 1 minute. 1 minute. Less than that. Now, I'm back. Hello. Why can't Rollo talk by himself for 1 minute? This is concerning me because, as far as I'm aware, I've
Don't be concerned.
I've heard you raving away for more.
I'm completely and utterly sober.
Tonight?
Well, I went too hard on the MDMA on Friday, and then I was wasted. Nice of Saturday, and then I wanted to talk. I would love to have talked to John.
So you're on the molly, basically. That's what you would say.
Yeah. I was not now. No. But on Friday and Saturday.
Well, you know, the problem with that drug, as wonderful as it is,
mm-hmm.
what it does is it gives you euphoria, a false euphoria for
mm-hmm.
you know that for maybe I think two hours. Per crystal, I don't know.
This stuff is really strong. This is a 4 hour buzz. Oh my god.
Okay. But what
it's
you get
so strong. It's so strong. Your eyes are wobbling, and your jaw is like pretty much jammed shut. You can't talk because you're
really... Okay. So it's reasonable stuff, right? But it's what it does. It gives you this false euphoria, and you pay that back 2 to 3 days afterwards. You'll start. You know, say you're watching a miserable movie, you'll burst into tears.
I'm not watching a miserable movie. I'm talking to you, and I'm thinking about what a wonderful day I had that day. How started like I'm going to court. One, you guys can't come in with me. I have to go in on my own, and all the concern and that, and then it got moved to Newcastle. Then we went to Maloney's pub, and then we had the best night. And then we went to the casino. I didn't lose money. I was up $1,000. I was up $1,000, and I came out pretty much even. I think I came 100 up. I took 100 off the casino, that paid for our breakfast.
Where did you go for breakfast at Darling Harbour? Tell me where you went.
Just a little cafe, this beautiful little cafe, and I had truffles, you know, and mushrooms. Truffles, you know, that real truffle oil, and it was delicious. I can't complain.
Whereabouts in Darling Harbour was that?
Just back from a couple of streets back. And, just next to the casino, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah.
I know. Let me tell you, I worked...
Yeah, I can't remember the exact name of it, but...
I worked on
the casino. I swear to God, it was awesome. That morning, I was buzzing, and I was just... And the guy was bringing me glasses of champagne for breakfast. The guy was actual. His name was Buzz. that was the guy's nickname. So he's just bringing me out glasses of champagne while I'm eating breakfast.
Because you say, and while you're here, Buzz, can I just mention the guy that you got your name on as a bullshit,
well, he wears,
as a Freemason?
Is he still alive, Buzz Aldrin?
Yes. Yes, he is. He was just being interviewed probably a year or so ago by George Clooney, another totally fucking controlled, fake kind of an actor. There to bring in a bit of credibility to a guy like Buzz Aldrin. Like, get off the grass.
I like George Clooney. I don't like him anymore. I didn't like him playing Batman, but I liked him in that wonderful movie, that Coen Brothers movie, Burn Before Reading, or Burn After Reading. Have you seen that?
That is fantastic.
Where he runs off to Venezuela. He runs off to Venezuela.
That's the movie. JK Simmons is there going,
What the fuck's going on here? You know?
Yeah. What was the other movie?
And the guy goes, I don't know. Should we get him back from Venezuela? He goes, no, leave him. Because he killed, what's that guy's name in the movie? Oh, it's a fantastic movie.
I haven't seen it. John Malkovich. Yeah, what a great actor.
Oh, man, what a Absolutely.
Now, what was the Coen brothers movie?
Legend.
Where's Brown Brother? What was the movie they did? Was it playing the three criminals in, back in the day with a great soundtrack, and it was a Coen brothers movie, and George Clooney, and
it
was like...
I think it might be... Hey, Brother. I think you got it right there. Where
Brother,
Art Thou?
Where Art Thou? Or something or other. Or whatever. I can't remember these things. Anyway, great movie. Mm. Great soundtrack. But George Clooney looks like a very likable fellow that you would get on with, but...
Oh, yeah.
What they did...
Oh, yeah, my mother, when she was still alive, wanted to sit on his face and wriggle.
Yeah. Look, most chicks would. Allegedly, his wife's a man, and he's probably a woman, or who's to know? I have to ask Frank that one. But the guy is... So when they're doing a questionnaire of who is the most trustworthy actor, you know, Clooney would have come up, right? So what they did is they got Clooney and Buzz Aldrin to do a pro-NASA push. They both of them flog chronograph watches. Suspicious? I'm saying yes.
Mm.
Clooney interviews Buzz Aldrin for a... And Clooney also starred in another fake space movie called Space, I believe, which was not a bad movie with
the one with Sandra Bullock. Are you talking about the one with Sandra Bullock?
Yeah. Apparently a man. Yeah. Bollocks.
Yeah.
Never mind her bollocks. Here's Sandra.
No, I don't know. I probably haven't watched it.
Was it called Space? I think it was called Space. Anyway, they were both got cut loose from thing and they flew away.
All right, let's go to the... before we go, because I'm not going to hang along.
No, never mind.
Yeah, let's go to the
blog. You're not going to hang along.
I'm going to hang on for a little bit. So here we go. So it's FAC871, the Super Chat, which is I've listened
hosted
to...
by this incredible...
2 hours.
babbling by a...
Okay.
New Zealand's man.
So by law, can't pass over, but they can pass out. So what is this? So this is a real way to deal with health orders, not laws. These ghouls have no soul.
Yes, they don't have a soul. Arthur P.
Shows how to handle by law, Fago Tube, on Fago Tube. So Arthur P., so,
wonderful man.
Go, and I'll watch that afterwards. Okay, so the next one is injecting ecstasy, COVIDian cult. Get your dictionary out when you're watching this brilliant essay. Injecting essay by, who's this woman here? It's from the Great Coronavirus Reset. And COVID to the rescue. First world nations had this problem. Why COVID won't end in a generation, for a generation at least. It says, like age, apparently Canada is sliding into a democratic capstorm, which will have a bigger effect on any virus or an impact on everyone. Our insane, unhealthy, addictive,
You're listening
to
Rick and Roll. Our program to bring you this important message.
This is Uninstall Media, and you are uninstalling the media's malware of the mind with Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Now, what a voice that guy's got, let me tell you now.
He's wonderful, isn't he? He's a great guy, too.
Yeah, he is. And another Hoaxbusters man. And what a voice. I'll go with voices,
here we go. Let's continue on with this. Our insane, unhealthy, addictive obsession with real estate is just making it worse. Here are the facts. You should remember these. What's the single biggest thing the Fed spend money on? Old people's pogey. So annually, the AOS costs $56 billion. I don't know what that is.
Annually or annually?
Anal Schwabs. There are 6.5 million oldsters, which are about 15% of the population, but the age is unstoppable in a decade of half of the wrinkle. So The Time Bomb, The Greater Fool, authored by Garth Turner, the troubled feature of real estate. I reckon, I think there might be something right with this. What it is global euthanasia.
Yes,
you know, this inject old people with AstraZeneca or Johnson & Johnson or whatever it is.
AstraZeneca. I've never trusted that company, AstraZeneca.
I heard you last night, Rick. I heard you last night talking about, I mean, you had your kids vaccinated once, but would you have them done again with the
COVID-19? And luckily my ex is in the same mind, but they are moving, what they're doing is making you feel guilty for not getting this thing. And I would say, in my humble, which I wouldn't use my word humble,
very humble
at all, but very humble, very heavy, very humble, Uriah Heep, good album, let me tell you, anyone listening, put that album on. What they're doing is demonising the non-vaccinated, and they will. And when, I think I mentioned it last night, I'll mention it again, I've watched on many occasions mothers bringing their little kids in, making them rub hand sanitizer, which is made from isopropyl alcohol, which will open up all your toxic little bacteria in your body. The eggs from the parasites, which are the things that cause most of our issues, are parasites. And isopropyl alcohol, which Holder Clark, the woman that wrote The Cure to All Cancers and rubbished the AIDS theory, and was absolutely fantastic. I'm a big Holder Clark fan. Anyone listening? Holder, H-U-L-D-A, Clark, C-L-A-R-K-E. Wonderful stuff. And it's basically rid your body of parasites, be healthy. And the parasites are a thing, you know, like, I don't know if anyone's had a tapeworm or seen a cat throw up tapeworms and roundworms and ringworms. And ringworms is another one, you know, they're all parasites. You need to rid your body of that, and you have to do that by alkalizing your body, get the acid out of it, and then you use what Uncle Rollo or Auntie Rollo or whoever he is over there. Don't call you late for a drink, ever. What you need to use is black walnut husk, which I don't know if anyone's had a walnut in their life. You know how walnuts come down as a green, like a round pod, and they rot, and the walnut underneath the thing. The actual husk or the green thing around it, if you bite into it, you're getting it's actually arsenic, and extremely bitter. That kills most of your parasites just by getting that. So her anti-cancer and theory was using basically black walnut husk, something that they call, wormwood, which is another thing, or maybe that is the black walnut husk. There's three very toxic but natural things that you can use. Like Uncle Rollo has, and I've tried them at his house, the anti-cancer.
Apricot
kernel. Right, 100% guaranteed. Be told, listen to your favourite doctor, Dr. Rick.
Dr. Rollo, because I had the biggest lump on my testicle, 10 years ago. Yeah, okay. Just before we move on, this is my anti-establishment when it comes to going against COVID-19. Wash your hands and putting sanitizer where it's on every toilet and whatnot. Every time I go to the bathroom and wipe my ass, take a shit and wipe my ass, I don't wash my hands anymore. Just as a protest.
Well, I'm with Chris Kendall. And look, to be honest, I do think something happened to that guy, because to me, was one of the most genuine guys I've spoken to ever.
Me too.
And me and him had a music connection. We used to share music to each other, and you can't beat music. Is an international language. You can't fake if you like a certain thing. And me and him regularly chat. Some of the guys on Fakeologist that I like the best, and that would be that I trust. So people I would trust. I would trust SMJ, guaranteed. Listen, the guy has a good voice.
A person of colour. A person of colour.
Yeah, exactly. Let me tell you.
No,
man.
He's black. He's black.
The best people on IPS are African Americans. These guys cannot be bullshitted to.
Is he from Africa, though? That's what Ab was saying when I was listening to the Saturday night last night.
No, he's not. But they call
he's not from Africa, is he?
Yeah, but what they use, and I would use it too, is like I'm not from, I am from New Zealand, but, you know, whatever I am, who's to know?
Yeah.
But guys from the African Americans on IPS, and I'll just use, I'll use that as a term.
Yeah.
These guys are bullshit free. They can smell a bush.
What was I listening today? Charles Barkley, right? Who's...
What would you listen to him?
He's a black guy. He plays basketball, right? And
he
was so eloquent with what he said. And this is what he said.
What did he say?
Something
okay.
Like this. He All said right. something like, there is no... White people and black people are just wonderful. And the only people that want to get white people and black people against each other are the politicians. They're the only ones making racism a thing.
But
Charles Barkley was a great basketballer, and so was Michael Jordan, they figure it's the white ones, guy.
Look, forget about them. Instantly, Charles Barkley gives credibility with me because of what he said, because we've got to get rid of this colour bullshit.
It's like, divide and conquer.
I grew up in New Zealand, right, which was basically a very heavily, I won't say use the word, a colour, but there were darker people and whiter people. Uh-huh. When I grew up, there was no difference. It was like, I remember a good friend of mine who's a Maori said to me, he goes, I always remember your mother always was there for us, you know, like, and said, you know, come up, you know, there was none of this, you're a Maori and you're not a Maori. And that's what they did to New Zealand, though. They introduced different laws for the indigenous Maori so that if you went to court and say, and I think I mentioned this before, but a good friend of mine, white, you know, very white, pale guy, got caught doing donuts, like spinning around. He got into a car.
Oh, yeah,
car.
In his car, yeah.
Yeah, and the cops were waiting. They seemed to know something was going to go down in this park. They were probably waiting for idiots like us that were there. Anyway, he got charged with vandalising a park. When he went to court, the guy in front of him was a Maori, full-blooded Maori, and he'd stolen a car and done all sorts of damage, and done this and that. And the judge said to him, if you can retrace your steps from where you stole the car to where you dumped the car, you are free to go. And when my friend went up in front, he got, because he was pale, white, ginger-headed, he got absolutely, he lost his license for 2 years. He had to pay the damages for the field that he vandalised. And I remember us all saying, you know, they divided us by creating this division between colours. And we knew back then, this is just bullshit, you know, like, what's going on? You know, like, he did more than I did, and why have I got more of a fine? And it created a little bit of a tension there. And that's been going on in America for the last 50 years, from what I can see, or maybe 100 or 200 years, who's to know? So that's why I don't go with colours or whatever. You just got to, everyone is the same. I don't care. Muslim, Christian, Hindu, whatever. You're all the same. When you bump into each other and you look into each other's eyes and you have a conversation, that's what it's all about. You don't say, oh, because you're from there, you must be more special. It's divide and conquer.
Take it out, Chris. Say hello to Rick.
Hey, Rick. How are you?
Chris, wonderful to talk to you again. Wonderful man. So how long have you been, this is 3 days now, 3 days with Lord Rollo.
Yeah,
Your brother. Are you talking to him still?
Yeah. Yeah, no problem.
Now where are you?
A good time.
Chris, where are you? Where are you off to? Are you heading off to the ski fields of New South Wales somewhere?
No, I'm doing a mountain bike tour.
Excellent.
Yeah, wonderful. So down south, the Threadbird.
Now, everyone listening, if anyone's listening, 2.1 people, maybe three, Rollo's younger brother, Chris, on the line right now. Completely different than Rollo, and a man probably not the polar opposite, but close to, but wonderful man. And I really enjoyed that. It was a great time meeting you, and especially I thought Darren and you were great people to have a beer with.
It was good catching up. It was a pleasure to meet.
Yeah, and we'll catch up again if you want your rainbow flat painted rainbow colours. We wouldn't be doing that, of course, but we can work something out.
We'll definitely work that out.
Excellent. Yeah, well, we've been talking about Rollo's court case last week, and we're just going through.
Cage, shall we?
It was an escapade. It was good. I mean, it was good to have you guys there as moral support.
And you looked fantastic with your Panama hat on. You looked
quite the character,
I thought.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, probably time to wind up, but it was a great chat.
Absolutely.
Chris, you're a legend, absolute legend. Are you putting up with your brother, which is wonderful? I mean, look, my brother's similar difference in age to me, and we are polar opposites. But, of course, we're brothers, and we get on because that's what you're meant to do. You don't lose your family over some stupid, political or medical divide. You just, family's family, as far as I'm concerned. Blood's blood. That's the way you have to deal with it.
Thicker than water.
Apparently so.
All right. It's great to talk to you, Rick. We'll catch up again next Saturday night.
Yeah, and I was just listening to, mentioning SMJ before.
Yep.
I always knew the guy was interesting, right? But he was mentioning some rap stars that he knew back in Miami in the 90s, and one of them, Trick Daddy. I was just playing the song Shut Up, and that is awesome. I love it. And so SMJ, I don't know if you deliberately mentioned his name, but I'm a big fan of that guy, and I love that Shut Up song. So I'll send it to Rollo, and he can have a listen to it.
Sure.
Yeah. Proper
hey, John Labonte here. John Labonte here. G'day, Johnna. Just before we go.
Okay.
Yeah, I've just been enjoying
how you doing, bud?
For about 15 minutes here. I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm glad to hear that. You were the talk of the town. Everybody wanted an update, and poor Rick just wanted to chill out, and everyone's like, Rick, what's going on with Rollo? Is he alive? What's going on? But I thought Rick handled it well, and we're glad to hear that everything's good. Apparently they've escalated your case to the Newcastle court, the third busiest court in New South Wales.
That's it. Yeah. They switched it up there, and so I've got a month and a half reprieve until the 17th of May, so I've got a month and a half. This is the way it works. I have to get a
proper
psychologist that will actually diagnose me. I don't know what the hell they're going to diagnose me as, bipolar or...
tripolar. Tripolar with backflipping.
Tripolar or what was the other one? Paranoid schizophrenic, which I don't think I'm any of those. But is a drunk...
A few weeks ago when you were telling me a story about the calls to the COVID hotline, I said to you, Rollo, did you really call them 55 times? And you said, nah, it wouldn't have been 55. And I doubted you. I was like, nah, I think Rollo's telling porcupines. Turns out you were telling the truth. It wasn't 55 at all. It was 120. So I feel foolish now for doubting you. You were being quite honest. It wasn't 55 after all. So I want to get that off my chest.
Wasn't it 100 and something? Because Christy told me.
No, it was about 70-odd. And I don't know how many of them got through, but there you go.
Okay, oh, 70. Well, Christy told me 125.
Mm.
So, and I think I would
But we don't know. We've got the phone records, but I didn't, anyway, we go on Section 32, which Section 32 means.
Yeah.
Get out of jail free card, So I'm going to work on that tomorrow, and work on that tomorrow.
Just do what you got to do, man. That's all you have to do. And John LeBond, tell me about how is it spring in Bulgaria?
Yeah, it's springtime here. The snow is disappearing.
Place?
Well, I'm in a ski town, so it's been covered in snow for most of the time I've been here.
My brother Chris, who's on the call right now, he should head over there and become a ski instructor in Bulgaria. But he hasn't been there, I believe. Chris, have you been to Bulgaria?
He's in the other room at the moment. But John LeBond, thank you for that eloquent message after that Sunday call we did that you wrote.
That was a terrific chat. I've said before that the Rick and Roller Show is one of my favourite things to listen to, so long as, and I mean this with the greatest of respect, you're not too far drunk.
I read it. Yeah. I read it. I pretty much read it in full. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to say this to John. I don't know if I've mentioned it on there, but the only reason I'm on Fakeologist, the only reason, is because I was listening to you and Dave J and Guy having a go one day, and I was lying there because I've never been online before. But if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be on here. So I don't give you a hard time.
That's very nice of you to say that.
No, it's true. I'm telling you the truth.
No, I believe you. That's
I'm quite happy for you to expound your whatever views you have, and I don't attack and go stupid about. I don't do Dave J's anymore. You can say whatever you like, but if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have bothered to get on to fakeologist.com and end up talking to Rollo and Ab on one particular night. So yeah, so I'm pleased. Look, whatever reaction. Every reaction has a, or every something or other has a reaction.
Equal and opposite reaction. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So John LeBond is the man. I really appreciate
that, Rick.
Oh no, it's true. I kid you not. So I have to give thanks.
So, John LeBond, what's in your hand?
Rollo, I'm 29 days sober today. Can you believe that? In a couple days, it'll be one calendar month.
Hi, I'm Sab from Northern California.
Hi, this is Errol C.
Naeem. Rick from Port Macquarie.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Yeah, Saturday the 4th of April, 2021.
Sunday.
Rick and Rollo and John LeBond. 21 days sober.
29.
Sunday.
29?
You said Saturday, Rollo. Sunday.
What's up? Have they cut off the alcohol over there? Because
No, it's the opposite. Yeah, the opposite's the problem. Basically, the alcohol is free and it's beautiful, and I went a bit overboard. And then 4 weeks ago, man, some hectic shit went down. I'm talking hectic. And I took that as a sign from the cosmos.
Hey, John LeBond, was it as hectic as it was last Friday with me?
I can't compare my drunkenness to yours, Rollo. I bow down to
no,
your...
No. I downed probably 2 grams of cocaine and MDMA on Friday night. That's why I couldn't do Rick and Rollo last night. I was just so wasted yesterday, but...
I heard from someone that you've been
in
Bulgaria? On the pills. I haven't done the drugs yet.
No, the crystals.
Let me tell you why I haven't done the drugs here. Firstly, I'm not a big into drugs, but even if I was, I don't trust the underground here because it's all controlled by a certain group who I don't want to mess with, okay? You know how you hear all those stories about who runs this part of the world? I think those stories might be true. So I'm kind of scared to mess with anybody here. So I just keep to myself and don't go looking for trouble. Because the moment you... The moment you go off the beaten path here, you can find yourself in places you don't want to be. And I learned that lesson the hard way, and now I'm just on the straight and narrow. You know what I'm trying to say to you?
I will back you up. You don't muck around. with Eastern European people whatsoever, because they have a different code, and their code is much more different than the Australian. You know, she'll be right. It's like, you fuck me over, you go. That's the way they do it. And that's why the gangs over here now are being run by these same Eastern European countries, because they have a different code. Different code.
All right. All right, guys. If you guys are going to hang around for another half an hour, I'm going to do another couple of lines. Now, John LeBron, are you looking to come back to Australia anytime soon? Or not?
No, but when I do come back to Australia, if well, we'll see if I survive here. They might run me out of town. But if I do get to Australia, I will. But if I do get to come to Australia, I will. I've told you before. I'll rent a car, drive up to Newcastle.
Oh, you got my head. Listen, even if I'm not here, you can. I'll tell you, the keys and the gum boot at the front. If you want to stay somewhere, you got free accommodation here.
Well, that'd be good, because you've got a library I need to take some notes from, actually. It's quite an impressive library.
Hey, John LeBron, let me ask you a question. What did you think about did you hear that Dan Andrews fell off a ladder and wrecked himself almost?
Well, can I say, and I don't mean to be a downer here, when I heard that story, my first thought was that's probably fake, but my second thought was, if he has fallen downstairs, like, I'm not going to take pleasure in someone else, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I don't like the guy, but I'm not going to take pleasure in someone else's misfortune. However, if I was in the business of taking pleasure in people's misfortune, then yeah, Dan Andrews is the first person I want falling down the stairs, if I'm being honest.
I wanted to fall down the stairs in slow motion and then hit a seat, one of those old mines from the old sea mines that the compression mines, and blow to pieces. That would be my favourite way to see Dan Andrews sorted out.
I have no love for Dan Andrews, Anastasia Palaszczuk, or Gladys Berejiklian. None of them.
Don't you think so?
Disgusting human being.
Look, I'm going to go. Here we go again, a bit esoteric.
Go for it.
Gladys Berejiklian, Alessandra Palaszczuk. There's these strange names that they've given us for these ugly, old, fucking... I don't even want to describe them. Why are they all, and Alice, what's her first name? Alessandra Palaszczuk or whatever her name.
Anastasia
Palaszczuk, Gladys Berejiklian, and they all kind of roll off the tongue in the same long kind of thing, but Anastasia's father was a German, very much involved with gene technology, and owns shares in gene technology in another country from Germany, and Gladys comes from that same mysterious crew that are kind of even more protective than the Jewish people, and it's what do they call it? They got massacred by the Turks back in the day.
There was a big massacre, wasn't there? Yeah, Turkey.
It was.
Before you go on with that, hey, John LeBron, do you know that the actual magistrate would not read out my full facts in the courtroom?
Well, I haven't heard the story, because
This is what happened, John. Yeah, I got when I was in the courtroom. Yeah, she would not read like the full facts of the charge, which she did for every other people that were what are they called? The people that are the accused.
Okay.
Yeah, all the other accused got their it read out in full, because I got to read all of their papers, but they wouldn't read mine out into the
record. Why? It was because it was COVID-19 related, right?
Yes,
it's quite obvious.
I think
quite
so.
Obvious. Yeah, it's a fact, 100%, 100%.
Yeah.
Something suspicious about that.
I gained confidence from that. I got confidence, and the more and more it went on, the more and more confident I got.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they tried to bring up an old drink driving charge from 1997. Yeah.
You said,
but they really wanted me to plead guilty or not guilty. And I said, no.
Thanks,
Section 32. Mm. Yep.
It was brilliant. It was so
good.
Can
I ask you this, man? Did you represent yourself or did you have some hired help?
I represented myself, man. And that's
what... Did that mean that you had to go at the end of the day? Because when I went to the magistrates, the way it worked was people who paid for a lawyer went first, then the people with the court lawyer went second, and then those of us representing ourselves had to wait till the end of the day.
Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly what happens, man. It's deliberately done.
Yeah, like, I was there for 8 hours, John. I was there for 8 hours. I'm glad you say that,
because that leads me to my next question, and I don't mean anything by this untoward, but it can be difficult for some of us to go a whole day without, you know, having a beer or a Red Bull and vodka, as the case might be. How did you get through that period of time?
By listening to all the other people. Snuck some vodka in my bottle of water.
Really?
No, I'm only joking. No, I was quite sober the whole day. Yeah, I was very nervous at the beginning, and then once I could see what was going on, and I could see the
vibe.
Situation was it was
the vibe.
It became a lot less. What do you call it?
Intimidating.
Intimidating. Yeah. Intimidating is the right word. There, Rick. It was much.
I've been there. Like Port Macquarie Court makes Newcastle Court look quiet. It's one of the busiest courts in Australia. And when I was there, and what I did is just roamed around talking to people, and there were guys in there that were serious crims. You know, like these guys were, you know, gangsters and doing stuff in Lismore. Port Macquarie gets Lismore. Kempsey, Taree. I mean, these are real heavy crime zones. And so I was there a newbie, basically.
Tell John LeBond, most of the people in court that day were there for drugs and...
violence.
And violent crime. And the drugs were all due to COVID-19 because they lost their jobs and that. But she wouldn't bring up the COVID-19. Yeah, the magistrate. Yeah, she wouldn't read that into the... And then she was happy to, I think, to get it to Newcastle.
They call it kicking the can, Rollo. It's called kicking the can.
Yeah, right? she didn't want to deal with it.
They would rather kick it to someone else. Like Newcastle court are going to go... When they get this case, they're going to go, the fuck have we done to deserve this? Because obviously they know that you've got pretty much.
They've got the three documents I gave them. The one from the marriage counsellor, the one from the cops, and the stupid. Yeah.
At the end of the day, if you proceed with the right thing, so you need to go and get a diagnosis.
I don't know. The thing is, I'm suddenly starting to feel more confident. Should I go to Section 32, or should I go not guilty? But the thing is, if I go not guilty,
ask SMJ, be nice and silent. I apologise for everything I've ever said to you, but should I plead not guilty? Because he's the only guy that I would trust on fakeologist.com that knows the law, and the fact that the cops have lied on their charge sheet, not only lied.
Exaggerated and I can get stat decks from my next door neighbors. Both of my next door neighbors, they've been here three times hassling the crap out of me, and this is 6 months ago, and I've been blocked, and they're still wanting
harassing
to make something of this. And I think they don't want to make something of this anymore.
Well, Christie's letter was superb.
Oh, that was brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, superb. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah,
superb.
And thank you for suggesting that.
As your legal advisor, and my charge sheet, my charges will be sent to you in my bank account details very shortly. But
it was good. It was good. It was good advice. Good advice. It really helped.
Yeah, well, that's what
it really helped.
It was just common sense, man. It's like, I know you, and I know you were not deliberately doing things to intimidate.
I think that one helped the most. When she was reading it and she was shaking her head, the magistrate was shaking her head when she was reading it, going, oh, my God.
We fucked up.
I've read it out in full tonight.
I read it out in full tonight, yeah. It's fun to play with the court process.
Well, that's when you've got the law on your side, which basically, as far as I'm concerned,
I've got the truth on my side.
You have. Absolutely, 100%. So, the cops have lied on their charge sheet, and the judge, which a female judge, which is even better because they've got this whole
she looked like my mother.
She and you just said that, Your Honour. The reason why I look at you and tears are rolling down my face is that you remind me of my mother. You don't look like she did when she passed away. Anyway, I better go.
Is John Avon still there? Are we going to go or what?
I'm going. Still there? I better go.
Yeah, it's pretty late where you guys are. You probably should take off. It's been fun. It's been good listening to you. And I'll be back next week, probably.
Thank you.
Yeah.
JohnLavon.com. JohnLavon.com. Psychologist.com. Go to these sites.
Lovely to talk to you guys. Lovely to talk to you guys. You guys are the best.
Of course we are. Over and out.
All right, bye.
That's all, folks.